Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios, and it's Friday evening with you for the full four. We're asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but you want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, take your Alexa speakers, take your tablet, take your Epson printer, your Keurig, your LaserDisc player, whatever your device is. Just download it on something. You'll be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929thegame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to keep up with the show is through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, as always, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Bunch to get into with you here this evening. Bravos, they are back at it tonight. So staying on the West Coast here as they take on the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Diamondbacks. 9:40 first pitch. Charlie Morton on the mound. Merrill Kelly is the opposing pitcher. Look, we talked about a little bit of this last night. You know, this is going to be an intriguing series because Arizona has played really well, right? I mean, they're tied with the Dodgers for first. Let me see if they're still tied with the Dodgers. So still tied with the Dodgers for first, 19-12 at home, 15-11 on the road. That's a good mark. They've won five games in a row coming into the ninth. They're 7-3 in their last 10. So, you know, look, Braves going to have their work cut out for them. We saw the Braves obviously lose two out of three games to the Oakland A's, the most dreadful, godforsaken, scuzz bucket organization in the history of mankind in professional sports. So let's see if they can bounce back, because this would be a really good series win. They can get two out of three. That would be a good series win for the Atlanta Braves. And we talked about this, about, you know, look, the schedule's going to open up come June for the Braves. I mean, as we're in June now, but the schedule really starts to open up. If you can take care of business in this series, and then you come back home, and now you got the New York Mets coming in for a three-game set, and then Washington right after that, who's also dreadful. Then you're in Detroit. They're a dreadful team. Colorado, they're dreadful. They're last place. So things look up. You know, you get through Arizona, win that series, take two out of three from the Mets. You know, you're in pretty good shape right now. And, you know, we talked about last night opening that gap in the Eastern Division, right? In the NL East, opening up that gap, getting a wider separation between the Braves and the Mets and Phillies and Marlins and, you know, again, the Washington Nationals aren't even, you know, competitive organization. But should be a fun series. This is a pretty good Arizona team. You know, we talked to Bob Nightingale, who lives out in Phoenix. Talked to him, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, he was talking about the idea of, yeah, you know, it's a good story for now about the Arizona Diamondbacks, but long term, can they keep up with the Dodgers? You know, over a course of 162-game season, you know, that's where that rubber meets that road because, you know, eventually arms get tired, people get hurt, different things like that. You know, the wear and tear and the grind of a full MLB season, you know, can you keep pace? Can you keep pace for 162 games? And that may be Arizona's undoing. It's just it's not that they're not a good team or, you know, not necessarily playing well, but just over the course of 162 games. It has a way of separating out the men from the boys and who's a pretender and who's a contender in all of it. So this will be a fun series. You know, the final game, which will be on, I guess it's ESPN Plus. I thought that was maybe an ESPN game. But on Sunday, Michael Soroka versus Zach Gallen. That's a really good pitching matchup. And if you don't know who Zach Gallen is, go to baseballreference.com and learn a little bit about him because he's been really good this year. And, you know, he's been one of the better pitchers in the National League. And obviously, Michael Soroka on the comeback train, right? Choo-choo on that comeback train. Like, what's his name? Who did that? Oh, Braun Strowman would do the choo-choo running around, right?
I thought it was somebody before Braun, though. Wasn't it somebody else before Braun?
Was it Otis? I know that Braun Strowman, you know, does that, you know, he you know, again, like Tugboat. Like, you know, do you remember Tugboat? Data, do you remember Tugboat? Along with Earthquake, right, when they were the natural disasters. But, you know, before that, Tugboat was friends with Hulk Hogan. When Earthquake squashed Hogan on the Brother Love show,
yes, yes.
You know, Tugboat was there by his side. Yeah. And they were writing in letters of support for Hulkamania, you know, and Tugboat was the guy there. And he would do the thing, you know, the so anyway, but I don't know if that's what's going to happen. But nonetheless, this is a good matchup for the Braves. And again, considering how good the Braves have been on the road, I expect them to go in there and win a series because probably feeling like, okay, we let that series slip away. We should have beaten the Oakland A's three times in a row. So anyway, it is what it is. Falcons had open practice today at Mercedes-Benz. Obviously, you heard Dukes and Bell that were down there. So it looked like it was a decent crowd. You know, first chance for folks to get to see them. And, you know, just before we get into training camp and things like that, before, you know, mandatory minis happen, and then we get a little bit of a break where right before camp, right, there's a little bit of a separation. That time period where coaches fear the most, right? After mandatory minis and then training camp, there's that dead period in the NFL where coaches worry because that's where guys get their last one big vacations in and things like that, right? And maybe a chance for some guys to get themselves in trouble or what have you. But that's that dead period that coaches always worry about. So Falcons will have mandatory minis coming up here soon. Game one last night in Denver. The Nuggets controlled this thing throughout. 104-93. Denver was really kind of in command. They won all four. Well, I shouldn't say that. They lost the fourth quarter, but by that point they were up pretty big. So they led by 17 at the half. Then added four more points on in the third quarter, and then lost the fourth quarter by 10. But we're gonna talk to our buddy Kurt Helan coming up here at 7:40. And get his thoughts about this. But, you know, Jimmy Butler struggled last night. He was 6 of 14 from the field. Bam Adebayo finally had a good game. He was 13 for 25 from the field. And then, again, Joker, 27 points, 14 assists, 10 boards. And Kurt and I are going to talk about this. Look, if he's going for 27 and 14, Heat aren't going to be around very long. You can't get everybody else involved. Murray had 26. Porter Jr. had 14. Gordon had 16. You know, they don't need much from their bench. Their starters are capable of putting up a flurry of points. But if he's going for 27 and 14 assists, it's going to be, you know, night-night time. It's going to be over before you really get started on everything. So, and by the way, Kurt and I had a good conversation, just especially about the Jaylen Brown stuff. You know, some interesting thoughts about the Jaylen Brown stuff. So we'll talk to him coming up at 7:40 here. And again, as we wait for the Braves, it'll be 9:40 will be first pitch as they, I'm sure, probably ready to get through this series and then get back home. And, you know, look, this will be a good series next week to start the week off with, and they'll be off Monday coming back from the West Coast. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a good midweek series for the Braves against the Mutts. And these are the teams, obviously, that we need to take care of our business against. You don't want the Mutts to be able to feel like that they – remember, Day-Day, let's get to our – let's make
we
sure –
we got to have the full version of the song.
We got to make sure we have the extended version of the, Beat the Mets song. So where we call it F the Mets. I mean, so anyway, we'll be playing plenty of that come next week. All right, here's what we got, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Are we going to finally have a head coaching advantage for the Atlanta Hawks? I want to get your thoughts about this as well as I get into it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back at it, Chuck Rochelle, hanging out in the Kia Studios Friday night with you. 404-726-0929. Talking some Atlanta Hawks and about the coaching situation in general. You know, we talked to Eric Reed last night and got his thoughts about how, you know, Eric Spoelstra has really grown as a head coach. And Eric Spoelstra has grown on me, I will fully admit. You know, Sam Mitchell and I used to argue, and this would have been 10, 11 years ago when we were arguing about this, that I thought Spoelstra was a guy that when you had Bosch, LeBron, Wade, that you just roll the basketball out. And I still think that. But I think Eric Spoelstra has shown that he can take lesser guys and get them to play together and take a star in Jimmy Butler, maybe not at the level of what Giannis or Joker are, but take a star in Jimmy Butler and make him the ultimate guy that, you know, is a winner and puts a team on his back. And I think he's done a fabulous job over this last handful of years. From the pandemic, and obviously, you know, they're in the NBA Finals again now, beating Boston and Milwaukee in the same playoffs. Are we going to have that advantage on our sidelines? Because Eric Spoelstra, in pretty much every series that he goes into, every time he's on the sideline, you feel like you have the head coaching advantage. I think Quinn Snyder can be one of those kinds of guys. I think he can be one of those guys that can give us a coaching advantage. Maybe since the days of Coach Budenholzer, and if you want to go back further than that, maybe the last time, if it's not Budenholzer, maybe it's Mike Fratello, the czar of the telestrator, right? That may be the last couple of times that we've had any sort of advantage on the sidelines night in, night out. And I think Quinn Snyder gives us a real advantage. Now, look, the results did not speak, you know, that kind of advantage, because we were only 10-11 under Quinn Snyder. And obviously, you know, we won the play-in game that we had to win, but, you know, got eliminated in the first round of the playoffs again. So besides just expectations, I'm asking you at 404-726-0929, are we going to have a real advantage on the sidelines with our head coach? You know, I screamed about this for years with the Atlanta Falcons, that for so long, and especially in the Dan Quinn era, we never really had the head coaching advantage. Yeah, I understand what Dan did, and you know, Dan had a great offensive coordinator that figured things out, and Matt had a season out of his mind, and we led the, you know, had the sack leader on our team, and we found ourselves in the Super Bowl. Dan couldn't coach. There were too many moments that showed you that Dan couldn't coach. Yeah, again, rah-rah speeches and all this kind of stuff. I want guys who can coach. Arthur Smith is a guy who can coach. And that's what the refreshing thing was in transitioning from Dan to Arthur Smith, is the idea that I think we have a really good X's and O football coach. I think we have the same thing in Quinn Snyder. And that's why this offseason is so important for everybody to buy into what he does. Because I think that he can be a top-tier coach. Again, is he Popovich or maybe even Spoelstra? Probably not. And to be honest with you, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You're going to pay him that kind of money, $8 million a year, championship caliber coach level, he better be that caliber of coach. He better be at that kind of level. He had better be one of the top coaches in the NBA, because he's getting Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, Steve Kerr, Eric Spoelstra kind of money. It's kind of money, Coach Bud. It's kind of money he's getting. He's in that, he's, you know, cat hair whiskers away from what some of those guys make. And I think he's making as much, he made as much as what Nick Nurse was in Toronto. So do we have the advantage? I would like to think so. I would like to think once we get this thing really cranked up and going, that we find ourselves with the advantage on the sidelines. And night in, night out, like what Eric Spoelstra does. I think that's one of the things about the Miami Heat is I think they're in really good hands. I probably didn't think that, you know, when he was looked at as Pat Riley's understudy and things like that, where you had Bosch, you had Wade, you had LeBron, and you had, you know, three guys in the prime of their career. I mean, the dead red prime of their career that were some of the best players. I mean, LeBron and Wade were, you know, first team all NBA caliber players. Chris Bosch was no slouch himself. Oh, you're a tremendous slouch. But I want that advantage on the sidelines. I want coaches that give us that decided advantage. I think Arthur Smith does that now. I think that Quinn Snyder can be that kind of guy for us. And I hope he is, because your wagon is hitched to him, right? I mean, that's your wagon is completely hitched to him, and you know, he's getting paid a boatload of money. Let's 404-726-0929 get your thoughts. Let's go out to Doug out in Jefferson. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, what's going on, Chuck?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
First time caller to you. Listen to you forever.
Thank you, man. Hey, appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I hope Quinn's the man, but I don't care if you had, you know, Pat Riley coaching these guys. I think there's something dysfunctional with the core of this group, and I'm not going to call names, but I just think there's something going on here that's not going to win. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope Quinn does a great job with them, but you're just going to have to convince me, man, because I just think there's something going on that they just don't mesh.
Well, let me
appreciate your time, brother.
No problem. Thank you. Well, let me say it like this. If we're just going to run it back, right, like the Celtics can run it back because they've been to the NBA Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals the last 2 years. That's success. They can afford to run it back. Now, you know, their coaches, you know, some of the players, you know, on that roster may not want to run it back, but if we're just going to run it back, given what the last 2 years have been, then I'm with you. I don't care if you dig up Red Auerbach from the grave and prop his coffin up on the sidelines and sprinkle magic dust. I don't care if you get Chuck Daly on the sidelines and let him coach this team. If we're just going to run it back, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. There has to be some seed change with this team. There has to be something that changes. And I'm not talking about, you know, not having one of the Holiday brothers, you know, on the bench or whatever like that, or no longer having Frank Kaminsky. I'm talking about starting five, talking about one of our big money players, you know, changing something up with them. Because I agree with you. I don't think the dynamic is going to be the same. I'm hoping that Quinn Snyder can get the majority of these guys to come together and buy into what he does. But I think if we just run it back, we're going to have some of the same dysfunction that we've had these last couple of years. All right, 404-726-0929 is the phone line. Let's grab Winston, who's out driving around. What's going on, Winston?
Hello, Zachary. How you doing today?
Hey, buddy. What's going on, man?
I appreciate you taking my call.
Man. Thanks,
man. I got one question for you after I do this little rundown. I like Coach Quinn. Now, I'm asking you, if the Atlanta Hawks had the same success as the Utah Jazz in Quinn's tenure, would you feel like that was a success? And I hear a lot of hype about Quinn, about how he's this genius and whatnot, but I just don't see it. I didn't see it in Utah. I saw them win a bunch of games and kind of fizz out a couple of years, maybe make it, you know, this far when it was kind of a down year in the West. But what do you think? If you have that same results he did in Utah and Atlanta, would you feel like that's a success?
No. I mean, if – let me put it like this, and everything always comes back to money, right? Okay, and maybe that's not the fair way to, you know, talk about this. I'm paying him championship coach caliber level, and not me, but Tony Ressler, right? He's getting paid championship coach level. Doc Budenholzer, Nick Nurse, Steve Kerr, Spoelstra, he's being paid at that level. I don't know if we win an NBA title, but we have to be in the mix for it. We have to be in the picture for it, not 20 miles down the road in a ditch. Because that's where we are now. Let's be honest. You know, there's way too much talent to be in the ditch that we are. We have, I mean, I'm not telling you we've got stars up and down the roster and things like that, but we have really good players. We have good players on this team. And you see at times, we can play with anybody, anybody in the NBA. There's always examples of that. But it is dysfunction. And I would not call, you know, if Quinn Snyder does the same exact thing that he did here in Houston, I don't think that's a success. Because Quinn Snyder wasn't, those teams weren't in the mix for winning NBA titles. They were good teams in the regular season, fizzled, faded out in the playoffs for whatever reason, you know, whatever the reasons are. And he had defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert. He had a great player in Donovan Mitchell. Like he had pieces and parts. So no, I would not consider if he replicated that a success. Would that be a success for the first 1, 2, maybe 3 years? Yes. For the first year or two, if that was the results that we got, yes. But you start getting to year three, I'm going to want more. It has to build. See, that's the thing about the Eastern Conference Finals run. We never built anything. Nothing ever got better. Nothing built. Even with some of the people that we had on this roster, they didn't get better. Some regressed. Some stayed about the same. But a lot of those players, nobody got better. Owen out in Southwest Atlanta. What's going on, Owen?
Thank you for taking my call. I think we got a good coach, and the reason why I say we got a good coach, look at all the vacancies that wild in the NBA this past the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Quinn would have been around if we hadn't have gone out and got him within the last 21 games of our season? I'm going to say we made a good decision going out, getting him in the last 21 games, and people were griping about it. And the thing of it is, Trey said himself, he glad he was here to assess what he needs for the future. I think Quinn is an excellent guy, coach. Number one, he knows how to talk with players, and the players listen to him. That's the first thing that we didn't have in here with the last two coaches. The second thing is he's going to have player development on his squad. Those are the first two things that you need to be a very good coach. And I don't think Quinn would have came here if he didn't think that he could work with the roster in the organization that we have. That's all I want to say. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, man. Look, a couple things. One is money talks, BS walks. That's first, you know, point. I mean, you weren't going to pay him $3 million and get him off the beach, you know, from his European vacation or whatever like that to come in here and coach. He wanted a say in personnel in Utah. He didn't get it. And I think that was part of what was promised to him. The other part of it, too, is I don't know that we could have seen, and I like the idea of Quinn Snyder being here, and I will say teams get antsy, right? I mean, we're seeing a lot of changes in the Eastern Conference because of unrealized expectations. It may not be fair. Listen, Mike Budenholzer was a guy who won an NBA title, what, 2 years ago? 2 years ago. Monty Williams is one of the best coaches. Monty Williams in the last 3 years has been NBA Coach of the Year twice, and he was fired. He was the NBA Coach of the Year two of the last 3 years and was fired. Went to the NBA Finals, what, 2 years ago, you know, was the runner-up to Coach Bud in Milwaukee, was fired. I think he's one of the best coaches in the entire of the NBA. Was fired. Expectations, man. And I'm not saying, you know, listen, if Quinn Snyder doesn't get it done in a year or two, we got to fire him. But there has to be some payoff to all of this. That's why I said I don't think that the runs that he made in Utah are going to be enough of a payoff. I don't think that's going to be enough. Has to be better. Has to grow from there. All right, we'll talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan when we get back, lead NBA writer for NBC Sports, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show live on this Friday evening. Is game one of the NBA Finals in the books. Pretty easy victory for Denver last night. Didn't seem like they were really threatened all that much. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk some NBA Finals and NBA overall with our buddy Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Basketball Talk, and he's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You know, my producer and I were talking about this last night, about the fact that Joker is so in control of a game. Like, when he goes stretches where he's not scoring, it's not because he doesn't want to score. It's because he's getting everybody else involved and doing some other things. It has been amazing in some of these playoff games that early on, he takes a role where he's setting other guys up, getting them into the flow of a game, and then all of a sudden he comes in and turns it on for his own offense.
Yeah, and I think that that's something the Heat wanted to avoid. They actually wanted to turn him into more of a scorer and didn't execute that very well. And I think you'll see it a little more in game two. They're not wrong either. I think if you can – look, it's not easy to beat Denver. They're going to put up points. That is a very good offense. But if you can, let's say Jokic has 35 points but six assists, you have a chance. Like, the Heat have a chance. They need that kind of night. If it's what we saw last night, if it's, you know, 25 and 12, forget about it. There's everybody's involved, everything's going on, and at that point, the Heat just aren't going to be able to score enough in this series to keep up with them. So I think that that's weirdly kind of the plan, but that is who Jokic is. That's who he's been for a while. He is really one of the best game managers there is right now, and his ability to just always know where the open guy is amazing.
You know, and I asked, I had Eric Reed on, the longtime TV play-by-play guy for the Miami Heat on, and we were talking about the idea of, you know, is it a situation where do you just let Joker get all of his points, but not let everybody else score? Because, look, if he's getting 25-30 and Murray's getting 30, the Heat have no chance. I mean, if it starts getting to be a point where everybody's involved offensively, Heat are going to get run out of the building in this series.
It is exactly that. It's also, and I mean, this isn't how many stars who can pass well has this been the book on? It was the book on Magic Johnson. Certainly was the book on Steve Nash for a long time, like make him a scorer, not a passer. And LeBron at points, although that was a little bit different. It's definitely the case with him. If the whole team gets it together, and you're right, Murray's going to get his, and that's part of the other problem with this. It's easy to say turn Jokic into a scorer. They're going to run that Jokic-Murray pick and roll, and they have the kind of chemistry in a pick and roll partners that you don't see much anymore because they've been together so long, doing it so long, and it's a little Stockton Malone-like, right? Like, they've just been doing it together for so long that they have a real intuitive feel for both what's working and just reading the play and knowing what the other guy is going to do.
Kurt, if we say that Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA because of all of his
long-term success and all the championships and things like that. Where does Eric Spoelstra go? Where does he fit into the mix of everybody else in the coaching ranks of the NBA?
I think he's the best coach in the NBA right now. I think Popovich, I mean, it's not like Popovich forgot how to coach, but he's in a different place with that team right now, although it's going to be, I think he's excited. Funny thing is, he's really enjoyed the last few years. He is an old school coach who likes to coach. He likes to work on player development. And when you have a higher level NBA team, or even what Quinn Snyder is dealing, you know, has right now in Atlanta, yeah, you're coaching and you're developing guys and you're setting up schemes, but so much of it is also ego management and keeping people happy and dealing with the personality issues around any team. You know, and Popovich was relatively lucky with that because Tim Duncan, but he still, at the end of the day, this is what he likes to do, and now he gets Wembanyama. That said, I think Spoelstra's a better coach, just in a better place right now. I think Spoelstra is at the absolute top of his game, the best strategic coach in the NBA, and also maybe the best at just getting everybody to pull the rope in the same direction.
Kurt Heelan joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. All right, I'm fantasy booking now. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan. I want desperately to find a way to try to get Jaylen Brown here in Atlanta. And yes, I know all the financial ramifications and I get all of it and the trade package and whether or not the Celtics want to move on. I'll ask you in two parts. A, do you think that the Celtics are not going to offer him a supermax type of deal? And B, do you think even realistically that the Celtics, if unless they get backed in a corner, they really want to trade Jaylen Brown?
No, I don't think they want to. First off, I do think they're going to offer the supermax, that they're just going to put that on the table. And this is one of those situations where I'm not, just talking to people around the league and connected and people around Boston. Not everybody's sure he really wants to be in Boston long term. But if they offer him the supermax, and like I said, I fully expect them to, he's got to take that, man. That is generational wealth, right? Like, you can't say no to that. My guess is, especially with the looming new CBA that comes down really hard on super high spending teams, that it is something more akin to he takes it, and you and I will be having a discussion in a year or 2 years about Jaylen Brown wanting out of Boston now. But I think that's a patient organization, and I think they're going to try to run it back in the short term. The way you get him ultimately and get him to come home to Atlanta is that he forces it, that it's what he wants. If he doesn't sign that supermax this summer, if they offer it and he doesn't sign it, or if they kind of lowball him, then trade talks start. His comments publicly to me, I want to be where I'm wanted comments, I think that a lot of people read it as him wanting out. I read it as pay me. I expect that. But if he's unhappy, then he forces his way out. And he's got a lot of control because at the end of the day, wherever he goes, he's going to have to sign. So he has some leverage over where he goes.
Well, and Kurt, I mean, look, it's the NBA. I mean, somebody's going to offer him a supermax deal, right? If it's not Boston, is somebody not going to offer him a supermax deal? I mean, is somebody not going to offer to pay him, what he feels he's worth?
They can, but Boston can offer more under the rules are set up to try to help you retain your stars, right? So Boston can just offer more. It's 5 years. It's somewhere between 290 and 300 million, depending on exactly where the cap falls.
Right.
And nobody else can offer more than 4 years. And I'm going to forget what that exact number is off the top of my head, 235 or 240, whatever that number is.
Yeah, I think it's 290 versus 240. That's the difference. I mean, it's like a $50 million difference. But again, if he doesn't get it from Boston, he's going to get it somewhere.
The teams would line up to hand him that. You're talking about a 25-year-old all NBA player at a position of need. Every team in the league could use that guy. And if he became available, every team, not every team, but well, pretty much every team would be lining up to try to find a way to make it happen, right? Atlanta would be in that mix, and that's why I'm saying he would have a choice. All the teams that are star hunting right now, including the Knicks and everybody else, would come, and he would have some options about where he wants to be. I think that'd be that's the telling part. There are agents who I've talked to who have said that once you get into that range, and you're talking north of $240-250 million, what's the difference, but sort of what's the difference? At that point, you're talking about so much money and so much generational wealth that is $50 million, this is a weird way to phrase this, but is that $50 million, is that worth not being happy? At that point, you're making so much money, would you rather go where you want to go? And for some players, that peace of mind of being in an organization they want to be with or in a city they want to be at or whatever is driving this matters more than anything else.
So, Kurt, if let's just for argument's sake say a Jaylen Brown is off the table for the Atlanta Hawks, is there anybody else out there that you feel like that could be a good trade candidate? I mean, I've seen some strange names. Like, I've seen Kristaps Porzingis, and I'll be honest with you, I don't want anything to do with him. I mean, seven foot three guy who stands 30 feet out from the basket. I don't need that for the Hawks. But is there anybody that you are intrigued by as maybe a trade partner to bring into Atlanta?
Yeah. By the way, the Wizards are one to watch. The front office changes they made suggest that there could be major changes there, although that would have to really start with Bradley Beal. And by the way, if Bradley Beal becomes available, I'm not sure that's your guy, right? Like an older guy who's very expensive, and another guard. Like, that's not really the need.
Right.
But there's other teams. What happens if things devolve in Philadelphia? I think you're going to see a lot. There's a theory going around. It's funny. I was just talking with a couple of guys last night about this. Here in Denver, there's a theory going around that because we're a year away from the new collective bargaining agreement's worst provisions or best, most onerous, parts kicking in, you're going to see heavy movement this year from teams that want to make additions or get out of this. And so you're going to see more trades this summer than we've seen in a while and more than we probably see in a year, just because teams are kind of like, hey, we can kind of make this move now. In a year, it's not something we want to do being over that second tax apron, that kind of lead apron they've got out there. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that's the beauty of the NBA too, John, is we can talk about, yeah, man, maybe it's Carl Anthony Towns and they're changing things around in Minnesota because they want to build around Anthony Edwards, which, by the way, wouldn't be the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something else. But you never know. There's always going to be some name where we're like, really? That guy? It just always seems to happen.
Last question for you, Kurt. Is there a team that you think could be seller? You brought the point about getting out of, getting out from underneath everything. Do you think that there's a team in mind? Are you eyeballing a particular team that you think that, okay, this thing isn't working for whatever reason and maybe it's time to try to start over?
Minnesota's one that I think is, like, I wasn't kidding. Carl Anthony Towns has won a lot of teams and have their eye on. They're kind of stuck with Rudy Gobert. That is an untradeable, I don't want to say untradeable, but.
Yeah, pretty close.
pretty close, what you'd have to attach to get rid of it. But that team, since it's just you and me talking, they should be building around Anthony Edwards.
Sure.
Anthony Edwards is the future there, right? Like, I'm not sure that Carl Anthony Towns fits with Edwards perfectly. They're not quite on the same timeline. That's one a lot of teams are watching. Like I said, there's a lot of eyes on Philadelphia. I mentioned them. Depending on what James Harden does and kind of how the summer goes, I don't think they're there yet, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. How unhappy Joel Embiid is suddenly changes everything, because then is Tyrese Maxey in play or some other guys that you might be interested in? Again, Maxey's a guard, so it's not necessarily where Atlanta would want to go, but there are big men and forwards who could become available. And like I said, there's always one. There's always one that catches even us off guard where we're like, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, always always a very interesting offseason. I'll hand that to the NBA. It's always a very intriguing offseason. Check him out on his personal Twitter page, at Basketball Talk. He's the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. And Kurt Heelan joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. And listen, we'll chat again here soon.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to Miami. I'm going to try to find some places to go out at night and see. I don't know if there are any. You know, I get in at 10. The city's pretty much closed by then, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's no beaches. There's no pretty girls. I mean, so, listen, I mean, you'll have nothing to do in Miami.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to be in my room working.
I was going to say read a book. I mean, you know, that's about what it is. So, Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man.
Take care, man.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.